Hey guys, Jake here. Before we get started with the podcast, I wanted to let you know that our friends over at Neither the Time Nor the Space podcast are doing their annual Wheelie Big Quiz charity. This year, their charity is Tiny Changes. It's a Scottish organization that helps young people help other young people with mental health issues. They will be raising money through the rest of the year, as they do every year. And as we do every year, we're going to try to help them out the best we can. So any donation made on their Just Giving page that has the word married in the comments, our podcast, Married to Who, will match up to a total of $500. We've already got a couple so far. We're excited to continue helping throughout the rest of the season. In order to find the link to their page, you can go onto our Twitter or Instagram. Twitter is Married to Who Pod. Our Instagram is just Married to Who. You can also go to Matt and David's Twitter, which is Time Nor Space Pod, or you can go to justgiving.com and search for Neither the Time Nor the Space. You can also just search for the charity Tiny Changes and kind of scroll through till you find them. Again, find this charity through any way that you can, through our socials, through their socials, by going on the site. If you do make a donation, if you're able to, put married in the comments and we will match it as best we can, up to a total of $500. If you have any questions, DM our page, either our Instagrams or our Twitters. Thank you very much and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex. Terry is here as well. This week, we're back to revisit a old New Who episode. It was my turn to pick, and I picked Father's
Definitely
Day,
not
written
watching
by
it for
Paul
the first
Cornell,
time.
Directed by Joe Ahern, aired May 14th, 2005. Before we get into it, it's time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 20-second plot synopsis. Are you ready?
The Doctor and Rose go back in time because Rose's dad is important to her, and she wants to be there for him while he dies. So Rose saves him from death, and it turns out to be a bad idea. And then everybody else starts to die around them. Time tries to heal itself, and Rose makes the Doctor very upset by doing this action. They find themselves stuck into a church. The doctor
Time.
Says...
Shut up.
How long did he have?
20 seconds. He didn't hear that
seconds.
Part.
He's used to the 80-second plot synopsis.
If it was a two-parter, it would have been 50 minutes, and it was only like 45. So two-parters, I give 20 seconds.
I'm going to go on strike. Bad management.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
Some time ago, there was a poll in a magazine ranking every Doctor Who story from 1963 till the 50th anniversary in 2013. All of Old Who and New Who, there are 241 total stories. Where did this one land?
Oh, no. I haven't thought about this at all. I'm going to go with a solid 98.
Alex?
120.
Sam?
Repeat how many there were?
241.
You guys can't all take my trademark strategy, okay?
Hey, I would first, fuck you.
45.
Jill?
70.
Cody?
44.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Bob.
It was 66.
Aw.
I'm good.
Can we pause? Like, just 1 second. Let's pause real quick. Can you? We gotta shut that off. It is
the thing that I said.
All right, man. I gave it the benefit of the doubt. We put something in the washer that's just fucking clapping in the background.
The last 92 times I've yelled at you for having your washer dryer going during a podcast didn't let you know that it's too loud. Hey, man,
you can dictate our podcast time. You can't dictate our laundry time.
All right.
All right, there we go. That'll be a little bit easier. Then you just have to omit the coughs that we're going to mute from Discord.
Yeah.
Same.
Sorry in advance. It's toot me your light.
Who was the furthest away? Terry, were you way up there?
No, I was 98.
Okay. Alex, you were right down the middle there. What'd you think of this one?
I mean, I thought it was pretty normal Doctor Who episode. Like, I don't know. I wanted there to be more for some reason. I thought it was like a lot more and it was just kind of there for me. I don't know.
You know, it's really funny you say that it's normal. I was listening to the Lazy Doctor Who podcast and they mostly just do classic, but they were doing this one because the one of them who's also on the Verity podcast had to watch it for that. And they were talking about it and she... like came from being a classic Who fan since she was a little girl.
Ugh, and then childhood.
She remembers watching this in 2005 and absolutely hating it.
Oh no.
Because it was all like emotional and it wasn't anything like classic Who. And now she likes it.
Oh no, emotion.
At the time.
How dare they?
Right.
Well, and that's a good point because it's not even really like most of even New Who isn't like that dramatic. Like emotional relationship acting.
Right. But I mean, this season gets there. Like the finales are always pretty emotional. There's always stuff. I mean, Donna cries every 8 minutes. Shuti Gatwa cries constantly.
Does Rose cry every 8 minutes? I don't remember, but like, it seemed like she do be crying.
She was killing it though. She was great.
They were all great.
It's just funny that because we came the other way around, New Who first.
Yeah.
We didn't have that
same
bias. The
long way around. Still working on the long way.
Man, next episode chosen by me, though, when I win again for the third time.
Terry, what'd you think of this one?
I liked watching it the first time. Second time was a lot harder. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I just didn't really care. I like the story. It's a great story. The monsters were bad.
I didn't care. It was a great story.
I mean, it is. Like, I loved it the first time I watched it. The second time I watched it, I was just like, my favorite line in this is just, Rose is a stupid ape. I'm like, yeah, I see it.
God, I love the doctor in this one, dude.
Terry hates women.
Just week after week, it is proven.
That was another funny thing that this lady on this podcast said, is that she hates Rose. And she's like, it's like when you have a friend and they're dating someone and you know they could do better. That's and like the doctor's her friend and she knows he could do better than
she's
Rose.
She's wrong. I love Rose.
Jill.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this one?
I did like it, I think. I don't know. It is a lot of emotion. Why do you make us watch such sad things?
I like to cry.
Well, then. Yeah, I don't know. It was I didn't remember a whole lot of Eric Middleton, so it was fun to see him on screen again and see their whole dynamic. Like, it is so very different than Old Who. Like, just the doctor companion thing.
Goodness.
So that was kind of refreshing. And I mean, obviously it's a companion heavy episode, which we don't see a lot of in Old Who either. And then I just kept thinking back to like seeing them all on stage at the Doctor Who convention. And like, it really kind of just put it into perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I was thinking about the things that they talked about, mostly the mom. And the dad just kind of chilled there. But I was like, oh, yeah, like, kind of forgot about this story. And
yeah, we did see the Tylers.
How it pieced them all together.
For those listening, Jill, Alex, and I went to Doctor Who convention in L.A. I can't remember the name of it. Gallifrey 1? Yeah. Is that what it was called? Anyway, we went to a convention in L.A., and one of the panels they had was the Tyler family. So they had both Camille Kaduri, Sean Dingwall, and Billy Piper all together for an hour, and it was fun. None of the ladies remember anything about any of the stories they ever did. It was such a long time ago.
Well, I remember Jackie talking about, whatever her name is, talking about Pete being kind of a jerk. And I was like, I don't remember Pete being a jerk. And then watching this, I was like, oh, yeah. There's like...
Oh, yeah. He takes his wife to a restaurant and then goes and makes out with the coat check girl while his wife is there.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Was
that confirmed?
I'm on Pete's side. I think that he is a recipe for disaster. Bad things happen around him. I stand by that man.
It's hard to stand by Jackie. We know Jackie.
That is true.
Well, and that's the thing. I think both people are terrible for each other.
This is the first story where I started liking Jackie. Because all the terrible things this dude did, or she at least thinks he did, and he's just a fucking loser. After he dies, she never says a bad word about him to Rose. She always, like, boosts him up and makes her think that her dad was wonderful, even though he was a lazy piece of shit who was banging coat check girls.
Her lies created this problem to begin with.
It's true.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Think about that.
He could have invented something, and they could have been trillionaires. He was an entrepreneur.
Why stop at trillion? Why not quadrillionaires?
Don't you guys remember the alternate universe, Tyler?
He did become rich from one of his crazy scenes.
When does that happen? Because that's what I was waiting for in this story, and obviously it didn't happen.
It's like two seasons from now?
That's season two. That's
next season.
I forgot that it just ends so heavy, and that was the saddest part for me. Like, I'm like, it's okay, it resolves, he comes back, and he's fine. And then he doesn't. I'm like,
nope.
Shit, this is just sad.
But certain little things are different.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of neat, and that didn't bring the world to an end.
She got to be with him. He wasn't alone while he died. The person who hit him now probably won't go commit suicide because they killed someone.
A crazy just ran out in front of me.
Yeah, so now it's fine.
Sam, what'd you think of this one?
I liked it.
All right, moving on.
Cody?
This is an extraordinarily good story marred by writer decisions that I don't particularly agree with.
Well, we will get to those in due course.
Jake?
I like this one. The reason I picked it is I wanted us to do a First Doctor story that wasn't a two-parter and wasn't written by RTD or Stephen Moffat. So that kind of limits it.
One?
There's only a couple. No, there's a couple, but it's the best one.
I was worried coming back to the Ninth Doctor because I don't think we have rewatched anything of the Ninth ever.
No, we haven't.
I mean, even on my own. Not like, I don't know. Not that I go back and watch Doctor Who. Sorry to get your hopes up, Jake. But
yeah, you just do German on Duolingo like it's a video game.
For real. At least I'm learning something.
Video gamify everything.
But I was worried what I would think of the Ninth Doctor because I don't remember loving him as a doctor, but he was also our intro to the doctor. I don't know. His doctor is crazy. I will say that. He's so angry, but then he's cold. He does that almost literal psycho smile where it's like, it looks like it's plastered on.
Yeah.
So he's like happy, but in a scary way.
Yeah, he's cold, but then, like, warms up, like, really fast. It's really jarring.
It's scary.
I fucking love this doctor.
Which I really enjoyed watching him.
She deserved to get fucking shivved. She's almost destroyed the universe.
But why is he so happy immediately? Like, scary happy. Because
she's hot. The whole reason everybody likes Rose. Crazy.
But then he's super sweet to the newlyweds where they're like, we're not important, but he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And that seems like such a doctor thing.
Yeah, that was a cool thing.
Yeah, that's so doctory to me now.
Yeah, I think that this is like the first instance we see of that, him interacting with normal people, and we see this scene kind of redone over and over again throughout the years.
Did this episode come out in the late 90s or like early aughts?
2005
is when it...
That, their costumes are so fucking identifiable for this era with like the messy hair and like the hoodie.
The
under
story
a
takes
jacket.
Place in the 80s.
The story takes place in the 80s. They're not dressed like the 80s, bro.
Well,
the people in the 80s are.
I was going to say, Rose and
the
Doctor.
They all brought
aren't.
In pictures of themselves in the 80s for the.
Oh, right. Sorry. I suppose primarily I'm talking about like Eccleston and Rose.
Question
oh, well.
Mark?
The Doctor never really wears clothes that have anything to do with the time period they're in. And Rose, that's what girls in 2005 wore, man.
Yeah.
The Doctor, I really liked his just like long sleeve t-shirt. Just like a cool guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like.
Yeah, we don't see him without the jacket on
so,
very often.
Like, that was really cool to me.
So cool.
So cool.
Real quick, what were we all doing in 2005 when this came out?
We had this conversation in episode 1. Please don't go listen to it because it sucks. In 05, I was in college.
We would have been...
2005? I was probably... That's when I started
freshman.
The anti-Sam club
that was
on Facebook.
The no, that was the end of our freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Starting sophomore year, yeah.
Yeah, May,
I joined theater
May would have been
speech.
The end of our freshman year.
And started
Did
the
you know
anti-Sam club.
Grey's Anatomy also started in 2005, and that's still
nope,
on?
Nope, never seen it.
Bad show.
And they do 20 episodes a year, and they have not skipped a year. Like, Doctor Who's only on, like, season 14, and Grey's Anatomy never stopped.
Maybe they can skip the next forever.
Days of Our Lives, but for Anatomy or whatever.
Like, Sam
ah, that's a soap opera. It's different.
Time glass.
Yep,
so
nailed
are
it.
The Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. That you're on the
and
show.
You know, time glass,
verbatim.
That well-known device
verbatim.
To measure time.
Contact our agent, Sam. Sam's ready.
Verbatim.
Put her on set.
All right, Cody.
What do you want?
I want you to tell me some of the things you had issues with regarding the writing so I can tell you that you're wrong. Or why you're right, because I do have some stuff from the writer.
Well, we all know that we all hate the monsters. I remember this vividly from the last time.
I don't hate the monsters. The monsters are fine.
You're
the
wrong.
Monsters are barely part of the story.
You're
the
wrong.
Monsters really seem to fit like, hey, we need a monster here, but that's
you're
not
wrong.
Really the story. Okay. Well, your turn's
that's
coming
exactly
up next.
The case.
I think the decision...
So, yeah, before you go on, just
excuse
because
me?
You just said it.
Excuse me.
Shut up. I'm emphasizing the point you just made with facts.
And logic.
That's how this podcast
oh,
works.
Oh, no, the facts. Okay.
So RTD originally like had the idea for this story and asked Paul Cornell to write it. He thought this was going to be like their big money saver. Like it was all going to just take place in, you know, one spot. There were no monsters, but they got pushback from the BBC that they wanted monsters. So then they settled on CGI, which skyrocketed the budget. And the special effects team had 3 weeks to do over 40 special effects shots.
Yikes. Gross.
Damn, I'm getting good at this whole Doctor Who analysis thing. All right, continuing on. The writer didn't have to make Rose's father a complete asshole. Like, everything was on...
I don't think he was.
Well, sorry, a complete asshole might be, like, hyperbole. He is, like, a bit of a fuck-up.
He's a Del Boy.
You can...
Say it in
it
the
definitely,
story.
Like, alludes... You get to make up your mind on how you feel about that guy. You could say exactly how you're feeling, and you're like, no, he's just misunderstood. Jackie's dumb and just doesn't understand what's actually going on. Or you could sit there and say, yeah, this dude's a fuck around. This relationship sucks, and he's a bit of a dick. Just by having that little piece in there in the story in which he ends up being the hero completely, like, obscures the arc for this character. Like, did he redeem himself through this act of repairing in time so he could save everybody on the planet? Or was he truly a hero in which he decided that he would take his own life to save everybody else? Like, that ambiguity makes the episode just a little bit off. Like, this is an uncanny story, and I'm mad at that because it's such a good emotional story. and you get to be confused about it. And I fucking hate that. And now this episode sucks dick. So
do you think they had to do that? So like, cause if he was just a good guy and doing everything he could to try and be an entrepreneur, but then the whole time Jackie's just shitting on him for being a fuck all, like, would that tart? Because we have to continue to know and like Jackie as the show goes on. And if that was the case, we like she is just rock bottom if he's just a good guy.
If they took the route of he's just a good guy, all the things that Jackie...
He was fooling around under the coat.
Okay, so like if that's the canon idea...
I don't believe that.
It's just so shitty. And I don't care that the character walked out in front of the car. It's not some heroic act. It's just in line with his bullshit character. And, you know, I feel far less for it.
Two things. One, Paul Cardell based Pete on his own father.
Oof.
Yeah.
And two, they actually talked about whether or not to make it, or whether or not to make Pete kind of seem like a good guy or a bad guy. They purposely decided in the end to leave it ambiguous.
Well, I don't know if I think that ended up being what is best for me.
You don't like ambiguous endings?
Absolutely not. No. There's no fucking point.
Okay.
The end of Inception? Actually, go fuck yourself.
Okay, so I would argue that's not bad writing. That's just something in writing that you don't like.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
And I never...
Do you guys know Simon Pegg was originally cast as Pete?
Man.
But because of scheduling conflicts, he took the role of the editor in The Long Game instead.
But Simon Pegg isn't Simon Pegg yet, you know?
He was close. Like, he was doing the narration for Doctor Who's behind-the-scenes show, Doctor Who Confidential.
Yeah, he's getting there. But until he's Scotty, like Space, he's not Simon Pegg.
Space must... Until he's Scotty, fuck off. Done 100 things before that. Yeah, he had Spaced, his sitcom, came out in 99. That was successful. Shaun of the Dead came out in 04, so we're already like a year after Shaun of the Dead.
That's the ramp up for sure. This could have solidified him falling out of the scene.
Jill, give me some stuff.
Okay. I feel like the two versions of the Doctor and Rose being together, like, and then I don't quite understand how that's like resolved or fits in or doesn't. Like, is this big buildup of like, you can't have two of you in the same place at the same time. And then it just like, they just watch the other one do stuff. I don't know. That's the part that doesn't like fit well with me. Also, then Rose and like the baby version of Rose, where it's like, she was going to hold the baby Rose, and the Doctor's like, no, don't! But, like, they're already existing in the same space at the same time. So why would her holding the baby version of herself be the problem?
He did already tell her not to.
She spends the whole episode doing things that he told her not to do.
Right, but just for the audience, like, that could be enough. Like, okay... She's not supposed to touch the baby. So that for the drama of it, with the baby's handed to her, we know it's bad. If you want to get into like proper canon of time travel, then like it's a weak point in time, and any weird little twinge can make it shatter.
But also, if she held the baby, it would make the monster stronger, and that's how it got into the church.
Because there's two of her already? Because
she was causing that weakness by holding the baby.
There's already so many shenanigans going on that adding one more. You know, like, we see the Doctor touch himself all the time.
Gross. Yeah, I don't know. That's like...
multi-Doctor stories.
That was my really only, like, problem, I guess. I mean, I don't remember at this point, like, how Rose grows from this. Like, did she learn her lesson of, like, don't fuck around with time? or is does she go about doing whatever anyway? I also think, like, as a companion, it just, like, feels bad that, like, because the doctor told her at the beginning, like, this is what happens if you go back and watch your dad. Like, you can't interfere, you can't whatever. And then she's so proud of herself when she interferes and saves him. Like, she clearly didn't get it. So does she learn from this about, like, how time actually works and to not mess around with it? At the same time, like, the doctor still, like, fixed it for her.
It never really comes up again. Oh, that's so good.
I mean, she goes full Bad Wolf and literally fucks the timeline. So who knows? Well,
it could be, like, a really cool development point for Rose and her understanding. I just don't remember if that's the case or not.
Rose doesn't have any development. No. She's the same person beginning
to end. This could have been the moment. She's just
more experienced.
But also, the doctor didn't save the day. The doctor lost. He failed.
He did.
And it was Daddy Tyler.
Yeah. They're saved by Pete.
That did everything.
Which
he's very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing I like the most about this story is that Pete just gets it right away. He's like, oh, you're my daughter from the future, instead of, like, really dancing around it for... Because I hate shows that make... Like, where the main character just doesn't get it forever, and it's constantly having to be explained to him. Pete's just like, oh, okay, I got this. And he's the one that figures it out.
Like Jackie. She's like, huh? What?
Man, and the doctor had no choice but to fail. Rose cannot stop fucking up. Oh, my God.
I still don't quite understand the key thing either. What's the key?
It's just TARDIS.
Key Ex Machina.
It's like the Sonic, just the TARDIS can do whatever we need it to do to fit a story.
Well, they needed a mechanic to get the monster out of the church. So you just push it into the regenerating TARDIS and then it zaps everyone out. I don't know.
They wanted a mechanic to make it seem like they had a way out of this and then take it away. To, like, get into Act 3, like, give you the hope that you're going to win and then have that removed.
Yeah, what was his plan? Just to jump to a different timeline and then everyone's chill?
Oh, he said the TARDIS could fix it. It could, like, sew up the holes and fix the timeline, because the TARDIS is Time Lord technology. He says at one point, like, if the Time Lords were still around, like, this wouldn't be an issue at all.
The TARDIS just takes out a 9mm and pops Pete in the church.
Boom. 3-minute episode. Over.
Time repaired.
Just right on the street where she saves him. Just walk up when they're still on the ground and put one in his head.
Yikes.
He's just like looking around. Hey, do we get the license plate on that car? Bam.
This is why Jake isn't a writer.
No. Let him cook.
This wasn't my idea.
You're making it happen.
For the original story that RTD had the idea of, he wanted Rose to be in the past, watching her father die over and over again, while the doctor was in the present, hearing the story of Pete from Jackie. And I didn't catch how they resolve it, but Paul Cornell thought the audience would get bored of watching Pete die over and over again. So it's his idea to have Rose save her dad and then cause the paradox.
I mean, that's ahead of Happy Death Day and all that.
Yeah, but those are all different ways of dying. This would just been the same thing
over and over. I think it would have been fun to be like every day she wakes up and it's like the day her dad dies. And, like, she has to try and save him, but can't. And then the doctor has to, like, figure it out.
That's a two-parter right there.
Yeah, no shot. That's a two-parter right there.
Oh, for sure. The first thing I thought when they're talking about it and she's like, oh, I want to go to this date where my dad died, and he's like, okay, and he flips one button on the TARDIS and it works. I was thinking, like, I want, because the TARDIS never works correctly, I want them to get there like 9 days early and just be like, well, we live in 80s London and just, like, have the first 20 minutes be them just, like, bored out of their fucking mind trying to figure out something to do.
It rains every day until the day.
Why did it work correctly the first time?
Just because it works when it has to.
Eccleston knows how to work that magic.
Top key. Best driver doctor.
In episode 2, when they go to the end of the world, he's like, pushing 100 buttons. He's pumping that thing. It's like the hardest thing in the world to drive the TARDIS. Here she's like, can we go to where my dad died? He like flips one button and then like pulls a lever and they're there.
He knew the date, but did he know the location?
He could probably look it up.
Yeah, he knows where she lives. It's in their neighborhood.
He's got on speed dial.
They're literally in the same apartment. But
then also went 5 minutes prior to them landing and watched themselves again. So accurate.
Turns out flying the TARDIS is wicked easy.
Turns out the TARDIS just every now and then, like the dials and switches do fucking nothing. The TARDIS is just AI. It's listening.
The TARDIS was like, yeah, I got you.
They literally do that with Clara. They're just like, oh, even though we've never mentioned it before, this 1/5 of the TARDIS console, you can just stick your fingers in it and it reads your mind. And you can go wherever you want. That's right.
The goop.
Oh, that would have been helpful 3,000 years ago when I left Gallifrey.
The goop is new. The doctor just installed that goop.
New goop.
New goop.
Who dis?
New goop.
Can I get on a t-shirt? The goop is new.
Ew.
Ooh,
sure, man.
Are you also going to put the doctor just installed it?
On the back, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Let him cook.
Little Mickey.
Little Mickey's great. The only one who just runs. Sea monsters run away.
The only one that was not murdered by the monsters.
Oh, shit, that was Mickey?
Yeah.
Bro, the drip.
He had a nice little suit on.
He was going to a wedding.
Yeah. Everybody goes to a wedding in their nasty ass crusty black suit.
We've talked about it before, but what this does show is that Mickey's like 5 years older than Rose, which is maybe problematic. Yeah,
what a predator, Jesus.
That kid was 5?
Also?
No, he's probably
okay.
2.
Okay.
No.
Who knows?
Jackie is also really mean to Mickey.
She's just a mean person.
Yeah.
Jackie's had it tough.
That doesn't mean you get to be mean to
not,
everyone.
Not at that point yet.
Jackie's making decisions for Jackie's own self. Jackie's making the wrong ones.
She turns 40 in 2006, and this is 1989. So she's 23. She's got a kid. She's taking care of all by herself because her loser husband can't get a fucking job. They have to drive separate to a wedding because she knows it's the only reliable way she's going to get there. And he's like a philandering dope.
He got the wedding present and she was with the bride. Okay, calm down, Jake.
He got the wedding present and they said multiple times that he provides. They have a place to live and food to eat. Like, what more do you want?
They broke the wedding present.
I want him to look both ways when he gets
there. Right, I'm making pins.
He abandoned his family.
Team Pete
and Team Jackie pins.
How dare you get murdered?
Hey, we all got like the best of both worlds. We got Earth One's Jackie and Pete's World's Pete, and we all lived happily ever after. They had a bad Jackie. We had a bad Pete. It all worked out.
I like this Pete. He's misunderstood.
The other Pete's way better.
The other Pete's a quadrillionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's actively trying to save the world.
Yeah. He's fighting Cybermen, right?
Well, he didn't know he was. He was fighting Loomis by being the man on the inside that was feeding info to Ricky and his band of misfits.
Maybe admit you know how to say the word properly.
It's not recorded. It's fine.
What?
He said Cybermen.
Oh.
Cyber.
Don't even hear it from him anymore.
I actively had to work to say it right, because I know y'all fuckers are just laughing.
This dude been in therapy for 3 years.
Speech therapy.
Yikers.
Married to who therapy.
All right, Terry, give us a minute of shit. I mean stuff, not...
Oh, okay.
Not that
it's
bad.
Put it away.
I think I love this episode. Because in the end, Rose puts herself through so much extra pain that like, if she would have just done what she originally wanted to, she would have been fine. Like, she could have just said, goodbye, Dad, and been there for him, and that's it. But instead, she gets her heart torn apart and everything. And I think I really like that. I hate Rose, by the way. But.
Is it because she's a woman?
No, yeah, it's just Rose. Rose is god awful.
I don't know how upset I would be about like a man that I never met. Like, I don't think it would be that hard to like go over and hold his hand while he died. Just she doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of a father when you never had one, I guess, is...
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty big.
Powerful.
But she's also been like told about this man forever and thinks he walks on fucking water. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jackie's a great woman.
But also, shame on the doctor for giving her that second chance at it. It should have been, no, you fucked it up the first time. Like, go look at his corpse. That's what you get. Like, we're not doing this game.
He's trying to get laid here, man.
He's working hard,
with Rose?
But it is that whole sequence where she's, like, telling him the story, asking if they could do this, and then doing it again. He is looking at her. He's not really saying anything. He does give her instructions, but he doesn't question, like, the morality of it. He just lets her... It's almost like he wants to see how this plays out, like he's testing her.
It seems weird.
And she fails miserably. Like,
oh, yeah.
But he's just kind of looking at her, like, very speculatively. He could have just said no, but then Rose would be pissed and he'd have to deal with her stopping around the TARDIS for a couple days because she's a 19-year-old
brat. Just strap her off and say bye.
Well, didn't he bring that
Which,
up? Like, he was...
I love that, too. Like, he took her key back from her and it's like, you're done. I'm done with you.
Like,
you're here.
Wasn't he... He brought that up as, like, a, hey... You just met me. You found out I'm a time traveler, and now all of a sudden you want to go save your dad? Like, what the hell? And she's mm-hmm. like, no, it's not it.
Well, he says, I said travel with me, and you said no. I said time machine, and then she cuts him off and just says, it's not like it was a plan. It's just something I'm thinking
of. So maybe he was testing her.
I kind of felt like that. I never really thought about it before. I really didn't even have to watch this. I've seen it 100 times, but... I had it on while I was watching football today.
Get a shift on?
Get a shift on.
You guys want to do some tweets?
Yep.
Maybe one. Potentially two.
How about four? One of which is real long.
Hold on. Hello, Terry?
Is it from Ollie?
Terry, are we taking 4 tweets?
Yeah.
I don't think I have that power to stop it.
You do not. The first one is from Max Blake at Max Bloke. He says, it's my homie Henry's favorite episode. He said, what can you say? It's Father's Day. And bro kind of cooked with that take. Thanks, Max. Getting a homie and a bro in one tweet.
This dude sounds like we could get along. I say homie. I say bro.
Bro me.
You and me, buddy. It's time to go.
Are you laying down fat bars, bro?
I don't know. Are you bopping these fat bars, bro? We vibing on them?
Hollywood Not at H Wood Not says, I love the episode. Not much more to add than it being a really satisfying exploration of Rose, and it gives a lot of depth to the world that was missing for the new audience of the revival. I first saw the episode when I was 8, and it definitely scared me a bit. Well, speaking of what people were doing when they were in 05. I saw the first episode when I was 8, and it definitely scared me a bit, which is what I want. It also leads to the parallel Earth in Season 2 perfectly. I know Doctor Who is all about season-long serialization nowadays, but this is done way better.
Did not realize...
Setting things up and paying... Sorry?
Hollywood Not was a baby. BB.
Yeah.
Just a BB.
Setting things up and paying them off without making it a big deal that we all need to investigate. Cough, cough, Susan twist.
Was the alternate reality Tyler like in the plan when this was being written, or was it just it just happened to work out well?
Well, the show was picked up for season 2 the week after season 1 or episode 1 aired. In order to have season 2 ready when it came out, it would have had to have been written by the time the show got picked up. So it's all there. Like, I'm sure it's ruminating in RTD's head. And I'm sure just having Sean Dingwall on set, they're like, we like him. Maybe we can find a way to get him back.
That's neat.
You can tell.
But I don't know if at the point this was written, I don't think it was like, oh, we're going to do a parallel world to bring back Pete.
Yeah, because they've used actors for other characters before. No problem.
Yeah, even companions.
But when it's something as big as, like, your companion's father, then it's like, we could come up with a way to get that character back in. And it could have been as simple as going earlier back in time. Anyway, James at JamesSwift95 says, I never liked this episode when it first came out. It always feels like nothing much happened. The car bit happens twice, and then they sit in a church for a bit. Over time, I've grown to get what they were trying to do, but it's still one I skip on a rewatch.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I skip it, but I kind of, like, vibe with the sentiment. Like, what happened?
The same stuff that we already
emotion. Emotion happened, people.
Emotion. I think if you don't got daddy trauma, this episode ain't for you.
Emotional damage.
Let's see. I usually skip the Slitheen two-parter.
Oh, thank God for that.
And is that the Boomtown and whatever?
No, I'll watch Boomtown.
Isn't that the two-parter?
No, it's the fart
no, the
monster.
Slitheen
no.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the sequel to the two-parter that brings Margaret back.
I was just watching that today.
And then I'll skip the Long Game. And yeah, then after this one, it goes right into kind of getting into the finale.
Yeah, the Long Game's the one on that spaceship with that weird monster,
after
right?
After this is the Moffat two-parter. Yeah, the Max, the Jaggerfest of the mighty something
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that seems skippable.
All right. Ode underscore Ollie says, one we can both talk about. Oh, that's right. He's been introducing his partner, Megan, to Doctor Who.
Mm.
They do it on their podcast, Companion Pod, where he makes her watch Doctor Who and she makes him watch Supernatural.
Oh.
So we're going to get some thoughts from both Megan and Ollie here. So Megan says, I didn't find it as sad as Ollie thought I would, and I did guess where it was going, but still enjoyed it. I love any time dragon slash dragon type creatures, so the Reapers are awesome.
Hell yeah.
And the concept of two versions of the same person meeting and that having consequences is interesting. All right. And then Ollie says, now for the long one. He's talking about him. The Reapers are such a clever idea for a monster. You know, they never say Reaper in the script at all. It's just
in the wiki.
Just something we all know to call them. The Reapers are such a clever idea for a monster being necessary instead of malevolent, especially when their presence is Rose's fault. It's a pity they're forgotten about after this episode, though. They could add another layer to a story. It'd be cool to see them again. The whole story is a good illustration to a new fan as to why history slash established events can't be changed and shows us another side to the Doctor.
But they do that.
The audience gets to see both how compassionate Nine is to ordinary people and how alien he is with his reaction to Rose's actions. It'll be interesting to hear what y'all think about it this time.
Do you guys... Okay. What? Many years ago, there was like a halfway garbage movie that was made from a pretty decent Stephen King novel about these weird ball creatures that consume time.
The Langoliers.
The Langoliers! These monsters remind me of the Langoliers.
If there's a shitty made-for-TV movie out there, Terry's
seen it. Yeah, true, though.
I was going to bring it up earlier, but I didn't want crap for it. So
no,
so
oh, no,
still
no.
Not crap
to
crap
Cody.
For it.
Look at that. Hey, let me have it. These are just cheap knockoff Langoliers, but weirdly enough, probably with better CGI.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the same.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Maybe better because these like change in state.
When they dissipate at the end.
Yeah, they like go invisible and stuff. I saw one scratch a wall. What a scene.
I would say welcome to Doctor Who, and I also want to watch Supernatural at some point.
Man, there's a, like...
You can, that's a goal you can achieve.
I just need
it's
to do it.
It's a lot of episodes, but there's an episode actually called Don't Fear the Reaper, and they play Don't Fear the Reaper by Bluest Recall's greatest episode ever.
You've watched it?
I fucking love Supernatural,
my didn't.
Dude.
I did not know that.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen...
Dang.
An episode.
Join Cody and Sam for their companion pod, Married to Supernatural.
No.
And Alex and Jill's companion pod, married to Gilmore Girls.
Yes!
Absolutely not.
I love it.
No, Alex refuses to do anything that I would maybe want to do, so it won't happen.
And mine and Terry's companion pod, married to the OC.
Oh, dear. I forgot about that show.
It's the best. Okay. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
Who's your MVP?
Sean Dingwall.
Oh, no.
Pete.
He's a Dingwall. Yeah. Oh, no.
Cody.
Eric. Chris Eccleston.
You try to remember the doctor's name.
Eric no, Middleton.
Not trying, succeeding.
Sam.
Rose Tyler.
Goddamn fangirl. Billy Piper fangirl.
Jill.
I hate to give to Billy Piper.
Love her.
Loved but I think it's Billy Piper for this episode alone, probably.
The crowd goes wild.
It's definitely Billy Piper. Why are we even talking about this?
Yes!
Billy Piper did all right.
I love Rose.
I'm going with Paul Cornell. One of the better New Who writers we had. His only other story he wrote, Cody, is your favorite, Human Nature, Family of Blood. Don't know why he's never brought back. But he's always a fun talking head on the DVDs. Seems like a nice guy.
So we've watched both of his in these rewatches now.
Yeah. Me and Jill and Alex saw him in Los Angeles.
Wonder what else he
bring him back now.
Story slap.
Actually, I would be surprised if he wrote on Supernatural.
What has Ohio Riz?
You're excused.
What?
Sam's bringing out the skibbity, and I'll not accept that here.
No, that's the opposite.
Was this that German she's learning?
I got the
yeah, probably.
The Rizzler.
Ich bin ein annoyed with that shit.
So you could read the...
Harry Potter book. Heck yeah.
The Harry Potter book. Holy
smokes. Yeah, it's real embarrassing to try and every time our oldest wants to read it, and I'm like, all right, let's read three sentences, and then we're done.
Sam fit to learn a whole language to read a somewhat gag gift by one of our friends.
Paul Cornell has written a lot of... It wasn't a gag gift. He's written a lot of Doctor Who novelizations, a lot of just Doctor Who original books. He wrote on Elementary. One episode. Some British shows, Primeval, Robin Hood, Holby City, Casualty.
I've never heard of any of these.
Coronation
yeah,
Street.
No, keep, still keep, no. Keep talking.
I've seen most of them.
You would. You live on BritBox.
Have you seen most of them, or have you watched the reactions to people watching most of them?
No, I don't watch reactions to things I haven't seen.
What's like the weeb equivalent to English cinema?
Anglophile.
Anglophile. It doesn't have that sting to it. It doesn't have the tinge.
I did look up the ratings. This was watched by 8.06 million viewers.
Wow.
A number every member of the BBC would suck every dick they could find to try to reach today. But for next time, we're going back to classic, my happy place. We're going into season 8. New companion. It's 4 episodes. And it's called Terror of the Autons.
Hey!
Hell yeah, we could do that.
We know what Autons are.
I know what 4 episodes is.
Why didn't we watch the Autons one? We should have watched Rose. Autons on Autons.
We just had an Auton episode at the beginning of season 7, so I didn't think we needed a refresher so quickly.
I don't remember what an Auton is.
The monsters from Rose.
It's nice having already been doing Brothers in Who, because I'm pretty sure I've seen this one too, right? Because we did the first and last.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, the first episode of The New Companion, so yes, we did do this
one. Hell yeah.
And there's another first that pops up that I will save and not spoil.
First.
But that's exciting. First. Short episode today. Just in time to go watch football.
Yay. First animal companion. Canine's here.
Yep.
First quarter's already done.
Ooh, we're ways away from canine.
First married companion couple.
That'll be Amy and Rory.
First.
Oh my god, do the song.
Let her go.
First on-screen anal. Wait.
Holy shit.
Okay. Oh no.
Okay, do the song. We're falling apart. This is a family-friendly show, goddamn.
Cut that one out, Jake.
Oh, it's definitely an E
show. Oh, yeah, dear.
It is an E.
Don't worry, Sam. I'm cutting everything out after the last time I stopped talking.
Like usual.
No, we need a Patreon tradition where you get the director's cut of Mary Lou.
Oh no!
But just the cuts, like all you get is the random shit.
Oh no!
Fucking clips.
It's like a whole nother episode, really.
Oh shit! It'd just be a lot of breathing too.
Breathing, coughing.
Do a song, Alex. This has been Married to Who, our episode on Father's Day Revisited. If you'd like to participate with us in our podcast, you can do so by following us on our socials, Married to Who Pod on Twitter and Married to Who on Instagram. If you would like to listen to our episodes, you can do so on our website, marriedtowho.com, or you can do it on iTunes or Spotify, all those things. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex, and our producer Terry, thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for Terror of the Autons.